This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Matthew is here. A bevy of topics with Mr. Football himself. Collar is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I'm looking at the Twitter machine right now. I follow someone by the name of Sloane Martin. Are you familiar with her work at all, Matthew?
I thought it was Sloane, but thanks for correcting me.
Yeah, you should know this better. I was on this today, one of the coolest, most stressful finishes ever. This is your bride, who I put out there the other day on Twitter, and I'm going to back it up, is the most talented and versatile broadcaster in the Twin Cities area. God knows why I'm talking to you instead of her, by the way. But your wife here, I first met her when our mutual great friend, Mr. Ricey, reached out to me and said, hey, if you have anything for Sloane Martin, you should interview her. Interviewed her. She applied to be a producer. Then she becomes a reporter. Then she starts anchoring here. And then she starts doing everything. She's play-by-play. She's analyst. She's sideline. It's basketball. It's volleyball. It's softball. Now it's riflery. Okay. People in this business don't ping pong back and forth between play-by-play, analyst, sideline reporter. First of all, it doesn't happen. Then it doesn't happen with this aplomb, this skill. I'm not sucking up to you in any way. I'm just telling you the truth that your wife is so damn talented. And I just wanted to share that with you as I brought you in the conversation. So kudos to you for, you know, God knows what video game you're watching at home, and you're watching some game from the 1960s. Meanwhile, your wife is broadcasting to millions all across the globe.
It is remarkable. I would say, not to give you and WCCO too much credit, but the news gathering is much harder than sports gathering to prepare for things. And so the number of things that she had to cover along the way, including George Floyd, including the pandemic, I mean, that prepares you for pretty much anything.
A lot.
And
yep.
makes Olympic prep, as she's doing all the shooting events, and then later it's going to be the synchronized swimming, which is going to be really cool next week. But that seems like absolutely nothing. The other thing is, too, if anybody sees her, let me know, because I haven't seen her in weeks. She's just been in her office preparing. Yep. So she works incredibly hard to do it. But let me throw, since you opened the door, I don't know. Someone could tell me if any other broadcaster for a pro team, because she works for the Lynx, and this year she has done sideline, play-by-play, and color, not all at once, but in different broadcasts. I don't know of any other team broadcaster that has ever done sideline, color, and play-by-play in the same season. So, yeah, she has a lot of passion for it, works unbelievably hard, and is going to be out there at NBC for 3 weeks. So I am just here. You're right. In fact, last night I was watching Panthers and Vikings 2008.
My God.
Well, I was waiting until 3 o'clock in the morning to watch her live.
Who are you? I mean, seriously, Panthers, Vikings 2008. Oh my God.
Gus Frat, baby.
Yeah. When you have those thoughts and think about calling me, don't. Okay. Call me. Yeah, call me like if Hoda Wanek is around and we can go play golf somewhere, but not to review, you know, Gus Frat. Well, let's talk Vikings. This is your main beat. We've obviously had a tragedy and we've had injuries involving the Vikings and the secondary. Kyrie Jackson, then Mekhi Blackman out for the year, Shaq Griffin injured. What are they saying? This is a week-to-week situation. This wasn't an area of strength for the Vikings to begin with. They've signed some guys who were available. A lot of times you're available for a reason at this point. So it's still July. What should the concern level be for Vikings fans regarding, in particular, the cornerback position on this team?
fans of The Office might say, concern level midnight. whatever is more than red. It's not a great scene. And they signed today Bobby McCain, who is more of a safety. And Brian Flores said that he was going to start out at safety, which sort of puzzled me a little bit because he has been a corner at times in the past. So they didn't even really sign a cornerback, even though this guy can play nickel and some other different spots. So there's that. Kevin O'Connell made it pretty clear that they need bodies. Someone has to be here. They've signed a guy named Kobe Francis, who has barely played in the NFL and is 25 years old. And there are a number of players on the free agent market. You mentioned they are out there for a reason. I'm curious about why Stephon Gilmore doesn't have a job. He played almost 1,000 snaps last year. But he could also be a guy that just joins on with a team, like Rod Woodson playing for the 49ers style. Like, I mean, just, you know, someone at the very end of their career that tries to latch on to a Super Bowl team. And as of this moment, if you ask the good folks who gamble on the sport in Vegas, they would tell you this is not a favorite for the Super Bowl. So maybe you can't get him. And then you start going down the line of, well, you know, Adoree Jackson 2 years ago was okay. Akello Witherspoon has had a bunch of injuries, but he stayed healthy last year. And all of this sounds very Marcus Davenport, Dean Lowry-ish.
Yeah,
and you would almost rather see them grab somebody that is on a practice squad from another team that they scouted or got released after a year in the league and hasn't signed on to a team yet and is waiting for an opportunity, because the odds of signing a 30-year-old veteran who's coming off a bad year and having them come in here and play well are not particularly great. Historically, we never talk about corners because they're not a fantasy football position. They fall off just as bad as running backs, normally, cornerbacks. So if you're talking about, oh, well, Akello Witherspoon, he's 29 or 30, he'll come in here and help. Well, I would direct you toward Bashaud Breeland, bringing back Mackenzie Alexander. I mean, they've tried this. Tremaine Brock was a guy they brought in 1 year. It usually, if you're this far down the road, it's very difficult. I think last year's big name was Bradley Roby. Should we go out and get him? And I looked it up yesterday. Well, he didn't really do anything for Philadelphia once they actually got him. So it's a tough spot, and what it means is that, well, Shaq Griffin is going to be okay eventually, that he and Byron Murphy Jr. have a huge load on their shoulders. For one, Josh Metellus, they were hoping to maybe move him around to back free safety a little bit, strong safety a little bit. No, I don't think so. He's going to be playing that nickel all the time, which does maybe make it a little bit easier, but also Caleb Evans and Andrew Booth Jr., welcome to the show, boys. We're going to have to see if this 2022 draft class has anything there. I don't think they think a whole lot of Booth Jr., but Evans at least did show some signs last year, and I think that he's going to have to be relied upon this year, but it is a very, very serious weakness, and there's only so much you can scheme if you're Brian Flores. Only so many blitzes. You got to cover people, and they face Malik Nabers, Debo Samuel, Stephon Diggs right out of the gate. So good luck to them.
This is Matthew Collar. Now until the end of the football season, you hear him a lot right here on this show. Let's pause. You can check out Matthew's great work, Purple Insider, stories, video clips, interviews, one-on-one, great stuff. Purple Insider, the way to go. More with Collar, and let's get to the quarterback spot. Darnold, how good is he legitimate looking? McCarthy, what is fair in reacting to certain throws and what is hyperbole? We'll get to Collar on that, and then we'll get to some of the Twins' payroll conversation also, because Matthew's paying enough attention to chime in on that. It's 2:16 here on CCO. If you follow this team, and about 98% of you follow the Vikings, our guy Matthew Collar is a must. Just check out Purple Insider, all the great information he and his team will provide you. Matthew is with us. He'll be with us every Friday during the football season today, filling in for our guy Scoggins. Scoggins on an assignment, but trust me, you're going to hear Collar about 60 more times on the show before the football season is done. Okay, you chronicle this. This is your business. So where is the balance for Vikings fans who... some want to be aroused in every throw. Others want to be negative every throw. What is the balance people should look at so far when we're judging the quarterback position and we're judging what Darnold has done so far and what McCarthy has done so far?
It's a good question, because a couple fans take some videos of a red zone drill with no pads and no pass rush, and J.J. McCarthy makes a nice throw, and suddenly I'm getting a bunch of questions if he's going to be starting week one. And the answer would be, what did Aaron Rodgers say? R-E-L-A-X? Maybe I think with this, when we know, we'll know, because the pads are coming on today. As soon as I hang up, I'm walking out there onto the field to watch the first padded practice. I already hit a tackle dummy to swim move on Kevin Seifert. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, we're talking about the first padded practice, the first time the defenders can really come after the quarterback, the first time that they can throw the receivers off of their routes, do press coverage, like all those things. And J.J. McCarthy, I think, in his first 4 days at training camp, showed some comfort that was not there in minicamp for him, where everything looked a little awkward and uncomfortable, like getting on, trying to ride the bike for the first time. But now he's got the bike moving. That doesn't mean he's doing backflips with it yet, though. So, you know, Sam Darnold has been an NFL quarterback for years. He was brought in here to be the bridge quarterback to start week one if they need him to. And that allows them to give J.J. McCarthy all the patience in the world. The thing I can say is that from all indications, J.J. McCarthy is working his absolute butt off to get there. And not the fake, oh, I work real hard or whatever, but, I mean, tangible things. So staying here in Minnesota and not going on vacation during that off time, working with Adam Thielen, who, if you have not heard, is from Minnesota. Shocking stuff there. Yeah, it's a great sources. That's why you can sign up for Purple Insider.
I hear it's Golden Valley, too. He's from Golden Valley. You can confirm.
I think a little, maybe a shade off there. I can't remember the town or the college. Anyway, today Brian Flores is talking about how J.J. McCarthy's coming to him and telling him, what do you see in me? What can I look for in your defense? And all those things, that the work ethic is there, and it's showing up tangibly from his comfort in getting under center and running plays. That doesn't mean that it's a good idea to have him as QB1 for week one. It's just, okay, to this point, this is what we wanted to see. There's going to be probably good days and bad days, but the date that I have circled on my calendar for us to know whether J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold will be starting, and I fully expect at this moment it's Darnold, is when they go to Cleveland for joint practices. Purple Insider will be represented by me there in Cleveland. And when they go up against that defense at Cleveland, they're one of the best in the league. How it looks there, and those practices are harder than preseason games. It's not really even close, I think. They battle in those practices. That's when we'll be able to say, okay, hey, McCarthy came out better than Darnold, but was taking first-team reps, and he might be the guy. Or, okay, he's still QB2, and we're going to wait this out and see how it goes, but you know he's still making progress.
Okay, let's switch to two other topics here. I want to get to the Twins and the Wild before we finish. MLB Deadline News is a site where they're looking at stories all across the country and accumulating them for people who want to have like one site, actually their site or on Twitter to kind of figure out what's going on a regular basis. They quoted Bob Nightingale, who's been covering baseball for decades and decades, with the trade deadline in baseball tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, tomorrow is the deadline, okay? It is. It's the 30th, right, Chris? Just look it up and just confirm that it's the 30th. And Bob Nightingale, who's very plugged in, said the Twins are hamstrung in the pursuit of trade acquisitions unless they're able to dump a contract. That's Bob Nightingale. That's not just, you know, Fred, your neighbor. That is a well-plugged individual. And we know the Twins, they lost the Bally's money. And we know they've acknowledged from Joe Paulette on. Joe Paulette on this station saying, yeah, we're not going to spend an extra $25, $30 million. I think there have been times, and you've been here long enough, those, when some people, no matter what, want to go cheap Paulettes, cheap Paulettes, cheap Paulettes. And some of it is ridiculous. But there are other areas when it is right on. And to me, this is an example, Matthew, where you have last year, which was pretty much a mediocre season until the last 6 weeks. Then, shockingly, they win a playoff game. They win the series against Toronto. They play Houston tough. And the key to last year was all about pitching. Later, the hitting came. So you're building some goodwill. Maybe Sonny Gray wants to leave, but he leaves. Do they add someone else? No, they don't. And they face the payroll issues that, you know, they've decided how much they want to lose or make in this case. Okay. Then you couple that with the Bally's fiasco where it's not on television for a lot of people, although lucky me, I have DirecTV. In fact, caller, for you, $100 tonight. You can sit on my deck. I'll keep the blinds kind of partially open, and you can see the game. And so I reacted to this yesterday and put out this tweet. And by the way, the trade deadline is tomorrow at 5. You build up goodwill and momentum, finally winning the playoffs. You have a very good lineup. You certainly need another starter, so you're required to dump salary by improving your team. Good luck. The criticism will be fierce and correct. There are times when you have to go for it with your payroll. There are times when you're not good enough, where you're not required every time. The Wolves have been consistent. They spend money. People don't have to like who Glenn Taylor's hired, who he's kept, but Glenn Taylor has spent money every single time. And by the way, A-Rod and Lori, since they've joined him, also have done that. Bob Nagley first, and now, why am I blanking? I'm the Wild owner. I'm seeing him right now. Craig Leopold. They've spent money. The Poleds have spent a ton of money on Target Field. They had a big payroll last year. But, Matthew, there are times you got to spend money. And if the Twins are going to spend money at this point, and this is their explanation, I think it's a foolish and feeble explanation, which isn't going to resonate with the fan base at all outside of in anger.
Well, and also for how many beers you bought at the Foo Fighters concert.
Yes, correct.
I'm sure that they have enough now for at least the pitcher.
Yeah. I paid for those seats too, yeah.
Okay, so let me just try. Let me try to be a devil's advocate a little bit on this one. Because in general, I like to think of all things as far as winning windows, when to go for it, when not to go for it.
Very good point.
Enough to put your name in the mix, like the Vikings when they traded for T.J. Hockenson. I thought, well, this is great. Go for it. You're not going to get another season like this probably anytime soon. But with baseball, a lot of times the team that goes deep in the playoffs or wins the World Series is not the best team in baseball. So I guess what my question is does one more pitcher, does that change your potential fate? Like, is that enough? Is it even a good move? Like, take the money part even out of it. I know that's the main part, but does it add enough for a half a season of one player to trade for that it would make a difference in their odds? Or is it more about just what it says that they weren't willing to spend in the offseason to go in the red for their budget and they're not willing to spend to make something happen here?
I think those are all very good points. You know, when they finally beat the Phillies in the last two games, they're now 4-19 against the teams above them. So they haven't been great against the teams above them. But they have this strong lineup. They have Ober, Ryan, and Lopez. It's not always about are you the best team in the regular season. Baseball, as we know, is so quirky in that sense. And it is the reality and it is the perception. And by the way, they're 24th in attendance this year. I just think it's reinforcing something which they're trying to go away from. I'm not saying give up Brooks Lee. I'm not saying give up Royce Lewis. I'm not saying give up Walker Jenkins. But messages sometimes matter, and they're sending the wrong message at this time when the opportunity is also there on the field.
I would love to see what they look like, by the way. I've only been listening to WCCO.
There you go.
Baseball. I am among the folks that can't get it. You know, I'm going to quote Kirk Cousins. This is ironic. Oof. I'm going to quote Kirk Cousins.
Are you wearing the chains right now?
Listen, he said, it's not about the dollars. It's what the dollars represent. And I'll tell you, the number of times that actually applies, and it kind of does here. They actually put a good team out on the field. It's not necessarily even about is it the absolute best, most efficient move for the long term of this team. It's really more about what it represents that you're trying to win all the time. And this is one, it's a criticism I don't like of the Wolves. When people say like, oh, they just always want to like make the playoffs. Okay, yeah, that's. I mean, look, tanking is good, but you know, if your ownership is the worst thing you can say about them is that they always want to make the playoffs, then maybe that's a little harsh. But the same thing kind of goes here, where it's like, well, do you guys really want to go for it? Or does it represent that your bottom line is more important than everything you could possibly do to win? So I understand the feeling. I just question how much one player can make a difference.
Yeah, it's fair. Last thing, and you pay very close attention to hockey, even though people think you're Purple Insider. The Wild make it official today what seemingly we all know was coming. Rock Favre off his great career with the Gophers, then joining this team the previous year for, what, like 5 regular season games and an excellent playoff series against Dallas. And then last year, when you can make the argument, he literally was their best player until Kirill was an absolute monster late in the year. He gets an 8-year contract, averaging $8.5 million. I'm not downplaying Faber in any way, because he looks like he can be a guy who can be a number one defenseman. He can play the power play, the penalty kill. He can play against the best players. It is pretty fast, though. It just reminds me a little bit in the NBA, when the NBA used to have these 3-year contracts for rookies. That's how Garnett ended up with 6 years, $126 million, and then the NBA blew up the situation. If that's the system, bravo to Faber, bravo to the Wild for doing that. That's awfully fast, though. Off a year and 5 games or so of the regular season, the playoff series, where all of a sudden you're already at 8 years, and I call it collar money, $8.5 million per.
Yeah. This is one. This kind of reminds me of when a baseball team signs a player before their contract is up, and they get them on a very, very cheap deal, but then it either completely blows up in your face,
yeah,
or you look like a genius. And, I mean, when you sign someone for 8 years, how much is the salary cap going to go up 4 years from now? And one thing I do know, though, about hockey is that when we try to predict year to year in football, 2 years out might be the most you can do, but even that's pretty tough. It's like things totally change in a year. Baseball is a little more, but guys jump up and down with whether they get hot and hit home runs or not. Hockey players can be the same hockey player for like 20 years.
That's fair. Yes, that is
so
true.
I totally understand your reservation to that, but I also think when you see it, that someone can do it, it's not like this is a sport where guys have these insane, 1 year he's a great player, 1 year he's terrible, like wild ups and downs, quite the same as other sports at a position like that.
Great stuff, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks, Matt.
Yep, anytime. Thank you.
Matthew Coller, Purple Insider. He's great. He gets it. He's fun. And I'm just going to repeat this on Faber. I don't want anybody to misinterpret this as any criticism towards him. He was fabulous last year. He looked like he'd been there. I mean, heck, when he was in the Dallas series 2 years ago, you're like, is he in his 8th year? I'm just saying that. And it's been a part of the NHL contracts for a while now. This isn't new. He's not the first guy. But it's just fast. All of a sudden, you're already to 8 years and that type of money. But here's the deal. You either dive into the deep end or you don't play. And they did that. So bravo to them, as long as this is the system. Okay, let's circle back to Walls and the VP situation. We talked about it a little bit with former Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka. That interview is available through podcasts, Chad Hartman Show. Other parts available. We talked Foo Fighters at the start. Overrated is available. All sorts of good stuff available if you podcast the show. And please, do me a favor, just try it. Available everywhere you get your podcast, Chad Hartman Show. Do you want Tim Walz to be the vice presidential nominee for Kamala Harris? Simple as that. Do you want the vice president, who right now is in her media honeymoon, might end in 2 days, might keep going all the way to the election? We have no idea. It's clear he's one of, at minimum, 5 or 6 they're looking at. A lot of people think it's down to 3. Do you want Tim Walz to be the vice presidential nominee and obviously, possibly, the vice president of this nation? Yes, no, and elaborate. You can elaborate through a text or a phone call, stylesfinancial.com, talk and text lines. I definitely have some thoughts, but I want to hear from you. Pretty simple. Tim Walz has been around for a while. Congressman, runs for election the first time, wins easy over Jeff Johnson, wins easy over Scott Jensen, really changes finances in this state with the trifecta. They spent a lot of money. Made a lot of changes. Some people love it. Other people are still shaking their head about it. Do you want, are you excited, or do you dread it if Tim Walz is the selection of Kamala Harris? What do you want to say? Call or text 651-461-9226.
Two, three, four.
Tons of texts coming in. Let's start with a phone call. Sam has called in. Sam, thank you so much for listening. You're on WCCO Radio. What do you want to say?
Thank you, Chad, for taking a call. I'm one of your great listeners. I follow your show, and plus you're a good golfer besides. But my thoughts are on Governor Walz is I don't think they should nominate him, and I lost a lot of respect for our state when he did not activate the National Guard back when George Floyd incident happened, and he wasn't proactive. He was reactive a week later, and the third precinct went down and everything else, and Minneapolis is still suffering from the nightmare of the George Floyd riots, and I don't think he's capable of doing the job, and that's my thoughts.
Sam, I appreciate it. If this happens, his response, and let's just be blunt, his late response, his lack of a response, will be an enormous part of this story. Check my receipts. We can find the audio of me on the air. You can go to my Twitter. Day after day, night after night, where's Fry? Where's Walz? And to me, of the two, Walz has skated more on the criticism than Fry. And by the way, Jacob Fry, who we have on this show frequently, and we've had some contentious interviews on that topic too, never, ever, ever should have taken away police from the precinct before. Okay? That was a social experiment. And he listened to the wrong people on that, and he has to own that. But by Wednesday, it was clear. Minneapolis police, they didn't have enough people. And Walz waited too long. In the end, who's the reason why the National Guard? Who signed off the final time? That's Walz. But at that point, he had no choice. This should have happened days before. Now, for me, I would much prefer Tim Walz, the congressman, where he's more of a centrist than Tim Walz, who's moved further to the left. When they won in 2020, the trifecta, and we had the $18 billion, they went for it. One Minnesota meant we're going with our one way. And if you're left to center, if you're a true liberal, you believe in those positions. So if you want Tim Walz and your Kamala Harris and you want a fellow liberal, because let's be honest, Kamala is left of Joe Biden. She just is. I mean, Donald Trump's no centrist either. I mean, this just leaves the middle wide open with Harris, and Trump was just a vessel, and he decided his vessel is further to the right, and it's worked. He won, he lost, and he's nominated. It just leaves the middle more open. If you would have told me that Biden's stepping down, my first choice, you've heard it many times, would have been Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. He is a center-left guy. But in Walz, Harris would get a fellow liberal. I think you're going to win this state. I'd be more inclined to pick someone who's going to win you a state and also moves you more to the middle. That would be my thinking, but it seems like he's definitely in the mix from everything that's going on. There's a lot of reporting on it. Gene is in Maplewood. Gene, you're on WCCO Radio.
Well, hi, Chad. Love your show.
Thank
love
you. Show. Appreciate it.
Love all the shows. The first thing I turn on CCO in the, well, first, I mean, radio station, I listen to it all day.
Do you turn it off, Gene, when Adam Carter comes on? Did you consider doing
that? No, I love Adam and Jordana.
I love Jordana, but the other guy, ugh.
I love your love hate relationship with him.
No, I love him. I'm kidding.
I know you. Okay, first of all, I'm a diehard DFLer. I love Walz, but I do not want him as vice president. We need him in the state. And I agree with you. He's a little left of center, and we need a centrist for vice president because we need to get hold of all the centrists and those Republicans that do not like Trump, because I know a bunch of them that don't like Trump, and we need to kind of grab those, because Kamala is left to center, and I love her. But, yes, we do need it. And I don't know all the other ones, but I really don't think that Walz would capture some. I mean, he's well-known here, but, you know, some of the other ones are more well-known other places, you know. We need Walz here. I don't agree with everything the other guy said. But as far as the thing around the killing of the other gentleman, I'm not even going to go there because I really don't know a lot of information about
he
that.
He was late, Gene. Trust me, he was very, very late. I always appreciate you calling. I just want to get to a few more texts, but please call in again. You're always very good. Thank you so much. I just wish we had more time. I want to get texts. I don't want to be cruel to those folks when they took the time, too, just like I thank Gene for calling it. I want Governor Walz to stay in Minnesota, if nothing else, just to tick off Republicans. More texts. There are better candidates to win swing states. Another text. I say don't let the door slap you in the booty. That's what I would say to Harris. Let's see. Walz would be a great candidate with the Harris ticket. I'm just reading all texts here. Harris should pick Kelly, Shapiro, love Walz. We need the swing state voters to defeat Trump. More people saying that on swing state. I like that idea. No to Tim. Good riddance. More. These are all your texts. Tim Walz, VP pick, not smart. The Trump machine will jump all over the failure to protect the Twin Cities during the riots. It will be an enormous part of the story, no doubt. No to Walz being on the ticket, this texture says. He's too liberal and controversial for most of the country. He did a great job in Minnesota, but he's too much, but not too much for the rest of the country. Let's see. I was supporting the Minnesota governor until he and the Democrats spent the $18 billion surplus. That's when he lost my support. More texts. All these are your texts. Note to Tim Walz, terrible governor. Blowhard likes to hear himself talk. His policy adds more taxes and already overtaxed citizens when there were billions of dollars in surplus. Big no on Walz for vice president. Texter says he has ruined Minnesota. He's made Minnesota the land of the free handout. A variety of different opinions. Jason DeRussia. He's got a 2.5-hour show. That's why he's going to give us even more content when he comes in here. I guess maybe, sort of, kind of. He'll join us next on CCO. Here he is. He's back from the Hollywood elites.
Sure.
Hang out with George Clooney and Julia. And
I was hanging out with Ryan Seacrest and Vanna White.
I heard this. You are such a game show nerd. And yeah. I know you say, yes, I am. And you have no problem with that.
No, I love game shows.
Yeah.
Always have. Loved them from a young age.
You did.
In the audience at Wheel of Fortune, Alyssa and Sam were laughing hysterically because the guy in the row in front of me was a young version of me.
Oh, my God.
So his...
So sorry to hear that from
you. It was awful. And it was awful. Oh. He was like...
Tell him therapy's available.
So obsessed with game shows. He was just dropping trivia, years, all this
could
stuff.
Did you step out and listen?
Hell.
Could this be Jason Jr. right here?
It was awful. It was awful.
Could you sense the tension between Ryan and Vanna? She wants no part of Ryan.
I can't... I believe I signed an NDA.
You can't comment on this?
I don't think so. Yeah. They didn't say anything about... This is the weird thing. You go to this taping, they give you this two-page document.
Like 2 months, right?
Yeah, like first or second week.
Jason and NDA, shocked.
Yeah.
But they make you sign this thing, and no one said anything. Like, oh, by the way, don't post. It's like, how about a briefing? Right? Like, yeah. No one's reading it. There are all these people going through. Like, someone could have said, like, hey, FYI.
It was Wheel of Fortune. It wasn't the Trump assassination
report.
They
took our phones.
Did they?
They put our phone in a bag.
You need to stop talking. We'll talk more about it with Canopy here in a minute.
Drive time back in action after 3 days off. What happened? Did I miss anything of the last week?
No.
It's pretty chill, actually. Nothing really did happen, right?
Mm-mm.
No. No.
We missed you at the Foo Fighters show last night.
I'm much, much younger than a lot of you guys.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I was.
You're going to be 50 here in a couple months. I mean, youth and vigor.
Ouch.
Yeah,
that's a little astonishing. I was at a going away party for my old photography.
I saw that,
and that was astonishing. Where you're like, whoa, I'm in the old guy.
I was near some former CCO big knockers at the show yesterday.
Nice.
No comment. Nice. I want you. No comment.
All right. Yeah, you signed an NDA just like I did at Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, I did.
Got to keep.
Along with 40,000 other people.
Got to keep it quiet. Yeah. Keep it quiet.
What else do you have in the show today outside of Wheel of Fortune?
Well,
you really can't share much.
We are going to talk about the war on weird.
Yeah.
Like, what do we think about?
We love that word now,
the
don't
weirdos.
We?
It's just weird. I prefer ding-a-lings and ding-dongs. Those are some of the expressions I like to use.
Goofball,
people.
I think.
Goofball.
Is yeah.
That's pretty good. So we'll talk about the war on weird. We're going to talk about how much is too much for a haircut. Because I was talking about this with my barber today.
I have no comment on that.
How much do you spend?
I'm not commenting. Too much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.